Wednesday afternoon, which always means Walk the Talk with Paul Harrison for a bit of Hong Kong history. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
This week, we're going to be talking about Prince Afi the Affable.
Yes.
Who the hell is he?
He's Queen Victoria's number two son.
Really? What does Afi stand for?
Well, his real name was Alfred.
Right.
But he was really nice. And so the family nickname for him was Afi, because he was so affable. And he came to Hong Kong, and whilst here, he got to lay a stone at the Old City Hall, which is where the present Hong Kong Bank is, the main one. And he also laid a stone at the cathedral. Now, this all comes about because I was reading a book on the Victorian Navy as background reading. And in it, it mentioned how two young princes came here. One was Prince George, who became George V, KGV, and the other one was his big brother, Prince Albert. And it said how Prince Albert wasn't really what you expect of a prince.
He may be Albert or Alfred?
This is Albert. This is the nephew of Alfred. The confusion between Albert and Alfred is how I got here. Alfred is the older, Albert is the younger. And Albert, there's questions about his sexuality. There's questions about his intelligence. And there's questions about his sanity.
So it was mad, gay and stupid?
Yes.
Is that basically what you mean?
And some people think he was a Jack the Ripper.
Oh, that's him, right.
That's him. The critics of that theory say it can't possibly be that because the dates are all wrong. So there was I thinking, maybe it's Jack the Ripper, possible, who has a stone at the St. John's Cathedral. So I did, and I thought, the dates can't be right. But I remember that the stone says Al. I couldn't remember the rest. My confusion between Albert and Alfred. So in terms of Walk the Talk, unfortunately, Jack the Ripper is not remembered at St. John's Cathedral. Who is remembered is Alfred. And so him. Whereas Jack the Ripper is really naughty.
But it may not. He may not have been Jack the Ripper.
No. So Royal Family, please don't sue me. I'm still
available. Or me.
I'm still available for OBEs and MBEs.
Right, okay. But it's Afi the Affable.
He also went into the Royal Navy, but earlier. Being Royal Family, heir and the spare. He's the spare. What's he got to do with his life? So he joins the family trade of Her Majesty's ships, he joins the Navy. A difficult career, because if he gets promoted, does he get promoted for being the boss's number two son, or does he get promoted for being good? It seems that he was actually good. He was promoted all the way up to being an admiral and in charge of Plymouth, which is one of the major dockyards in Britain. So he joins the Navy, rises up, is offered the kingship of Greece, but the government turned it down. And in 1867, he goes on the round the world trip. He goes to Australia and spends 5 months there, and he's the first royal to visit that colony. He went to Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Tasmania. But whilst having a picnic, an Irishman called O'Farrell, who was a drunken lunatic, came up to him and shot him in the braces, and he survived.
In the braces? What do you mean, in the chest?
He had braces on to hold his trousers up, as he did in Victorian times, and the bullet struck his bulletproof braces, and he lived.
Bulletproof braces?
Well, I don't think they were bulletproof, but they managed to deflect the bullet and save him. And whilst in hospital in Australia, he was nursed by six nurses who had been trained by Florence Nightingale. And anybody from New South Wales may know the Prince Alfred Hospital. That's because he was there.
That's where he was. Okay.
Of course, O'Farrell got hung, but Afi the Affable said, you should save him. He shouldn't be hung. I survived, after all. And I let him off, just put him in prison. So he was nice towards his assassin.
So what happened to him?
Oh, O'Farrell was hung, even though there was a royal plea to save him.
Royal pardon didn't work.
So he comes to Hong Kong, he lays those foundation stones and goes back to Britain. Oh, and if there's any South Africans here, a lot of Cape Town is named after him too, because on his world journey he went via Cape Town, and there's a list about a dozen things that got named after him there.
Prince Alfred.
Yep. He goes back to Britain and gets married. If you wondered where the Maria biscuit comes from...
Oh, yeah.
It's his wife. Not the biscuit itself. The biscuit is named after her.
The round ones or yes. The long, thin ones, those are Maria, really, aren't they?
I think they're the round a plain... ones,
round frill on the edge. I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
Well, he married Tsar Alexander II's daughter, Queen of all the Russians. Now, this caused a bit of problems because his big brother only married, and apologies to any Danes out there, the Princess of Denmark. So, Princess Maria insisted on going first at any royal occasions, whereas the Danish princess should have had prerogative because she's married to the future king. She brought with her a staggering dowry of £0.1 million, which was an incredible figure in those days.
The Danish one or the Russian one?
The Russian one.
Okay.
And so she was seen as haughty and not particularly liked by the proles in Britain.
So there was princess politics at work.
Yeah. As I said, he was an excellent sailor. He improved signalling and manoeuvres, and he was interested in gunnery. But he didn't really use his power to improve Victorian Navy gunnery. If you fired the guns on a Victorian Navy battleship, you had to repaint the boat afterwards. And the money didn't come out of the government fees. It came out of the officers' fees.
What? So they wouldn't want to actually practice. Fire the guns?
Yes, the sailors would all turn the other way while the explosives that were meant to be for practicing were accidentally dropped over the side. Because if you painted the boat, it would be a quarter of the officer's annual pay would disappear. And so the Royal Navy was good at everything apart from firing guns, which has led to one of the problems at the Battle of Jutland, because the Navy had got out of practice of firing guns.
How extraordinary.
One ship, which Afy, in fact, served on, spent £2,000 just on gold leafing it to make it all pretty, the HMS Alexandra.
They gold-leafed a battleship.
Yes. And they didn't even get a gilt complex.
Oh, dearie me.
So the last thing you'd want to do is fire the guns and cover all the gilding with a soot. He was also a violinist. He was a very good violinist, and he's one of the founders or patrons of the Royal College of Music. Oh, and while he was in Hong Kong, I forgot, a salute was fired in his honour, and this salute somehow managed to hurt two American sailors who were in port, and being affable Alfred, he paid them £50 for their recovery. He has a manta ray named in his honour.
A manta ray, yeah.
It's called the Manta Alfredi, and the Russians even named a warship after him. And this Russian warship was called the Gerzog Edinburghski. Apologies to any Russian speakers out there, because he was also the Duke of Edinburgh, Kent and Ulster. This Russian warship survived from 1875 to 1950, so it had a very long career.
Very long,
if you think of all the turmoil that Russia went in those days.
75 years.
Yes. And how he ended up is as the third Duke of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, his dad being Prince Albert, Queen Victoria's husband, the crown of, or the duchy of Gotha came vacant, and he was in line to take it. So he gave up all his British positions and went across to be a German duke. All this niceness, but he had one bad thing of his life. Apart from his wayward nephew, his son had a scandal with a mistress and shot himself. And he didn't shoot himself very well, and he died 2 weeks later.
Oh, dear.
And that was 1 year before he died himself of throat cancer in the year 1900.
And that was him?
Yeah.
Paul, very nice to see you once again. Okay. See you next week.